Hello lovelies, it's Sandra Daisy here with episode 2 of Sandra Daisy Mummy's Time podcast. I hope you're all well. Today's episode is going to be discussing postnatal depression, sharing my own experience with postnatal depression. So, my postnatal depression started with my third born child back in 2011. He was born June 2011. One of the things, when I look back, it's quite hazy, but the emotions aren't. I believe it's almost like a trauma response, where I've blocked out certain parts of my journey within that time, whereby I can absolutely go back to the emotions, but it's quite hazy at the same time. I mean, I can recall things from, you know, when I was 7, 8 years old, and it can be clear as day. My senses, I'll be able to remember, you know, let's say, for example, foods. I can remember the smell, the taste. But when it comes to my postnatal depression, yes, quite hazy. However, the emotions, I can break it down and remember ever so clearly. So as I was saying, it was the birth of, following my birth, the birth of my third born child. Just on the top of my head, I do recall just feeling very disconnected. I think that's the first emotion that I can, you know, well, first word that best describes that time, just very disconnected. I had a lot of shame, because I couldn't understand, I couldn't pinpoint, and I didn't understand why I was feeling this disconnect with this beautiful blessing of a baby. Considering I'd had my older two already, he was my third born. So there was a disappointment, a shame in myself of, for some reason, it was a feeling of, oh, I'm not able to cope. I've got this third baby. This means I can't cope, but I coped with having two. What's this? Incompetent, that's the word. Incompetent. So disconnect, incompetent, shame. It wasn't until, I think it was a year and a bit, another incident happened. Let's just say, I'll put it down to, I won't put it down to, there's obviously many factors surrounding, but I will say that there was a lot of trauma that happened. June 2011, the birth of my son, then finding out something life-changing in the December, and then a week before his first birthday, finding out another thing, which was to do with my now ex-husband, which no woman at any stage when they're in a marriage, let alone after just having a baby, if the baby's about to turn one, should ever have to find out. Let's just say that it was a form of infidelity, but on the grander scale. I've never felt or experienced that level of betrayal. Those who know me will know the story, but it's, that gives you a bit of an idea. So I found these things of betrayal two weeks before our son's first birthday. So with that, plus struggling with, oh my gosh, this disconnect, the shame, why am I not able to cope? What's wrong with me? I decided to approach my GP, and unfortunately, my GP was not, which is the case, I think, for some women, which some women that I've certainly spoken to, they hadn't had that support. I approached her. I said, I don't know what I'm feeling. I'm just not feeling like I'm bonding with my baby. I just don't feel right. My moods are just awful. You know, I think it might be postnatal depression. At which, obviously, prior to that, I was, you know, saying, oh, I'm doing everything, you know, maybe I'm looking after children, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but this. So after telling her all the first parts of what I'm able to do, but then I'm still not feeling right, she then said, well, I mean, you're doing all the normal things, so you're fine. I mean, you don't look depressed. So yeah, it's just part of it. Probably you've just got some blues and, you know, it will pass. So obviously, you can imagine that leaving the surgery, leaving the room after she said that, it just made me feel even worse that, oh my gosh, there's totally something wrong with me if I'm even a doctor saying I'm fine, but I'm not feeling fine. I'm not feeling that it's right. So after that, it was just, what do you do? You've come to the doctors hoping to get some support. I was hoping that she would, you know, find out a bit, speak to me, you know, what are the feelings you're having and so forth. And, you know, really like paying attention and, you know, trying to find out, you know, what it is I'm going through to help me get an answer. So after that, I just thought, oh. And unfortunately, I had spoke to another mum that was near around that time of, you know, having gone to the GP, approached the GP, and she had shared her own experience about approaching the doctor again, you know, stating that she wasn't feeling too well after the birth of her. I think it was her third child or fourth. And, you know, she was basically told, well, if you're struggling, then, you know, unfortunately, you know, your children, along the lines of, if I recall correctly, along the lines of, well, if you're not coping, then, you know, you've got to be careful. The social services can get involved and so forth. And I just thought, oh, my goodness, that is just, you know, I at that moment, I just thought to myself, there was me thinking the doctor just brushing me off was one thing, but you got this, you know, mum that I knew saying that these type of things were raised when I'm sure she's just looking for some comfort, some answers, some, you know, some a bit of signposting where she can go and, you know, what things, you know, she can do to help herself. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate that happens. And I'm not saying it's all GPs, but sometimes it's so crucial that those who have that role, you know, GPs especially, it takes so much. I mean, I remember myself thinking, oh my gosh, that's really like, that's over the top. Why would you go to a GP? I said, no, I don't feel right, so I should go. So it takes so much to pluck up the courage to actually say, well, yes, I'm doing ABC, but I don't feel right, so I'm going to go to the GP. And you pluck up that, you know, courage, and, you know, you've already had the conversation to deter. You've had every conversation within yourself, you know, that you're, you know, that to not let you to go, oh no, you'll be fine, just, you know, almost like suck it up and you'll get through it. It's just this, you try and kind of make it small, but then when you really pluck up the courage and say, no, this is not good, this is not healthy, let me go and get help, when you finally do that and you're met with that, my God, what do you do with that, you know, feeling just like a whole ton of bricks on you, and then you're having to clamber up from that when you're already feeling quite suffocated within yourself with these emotions that really, you know, I don't think, no, I think you know that they're not right. That's all you know at the time. I know certainly for me, I just knew like, oh, I've had two children. I don't recognise this. What's wrong with me? Another factor that, a factor that absolutely in hindsight now looking back, I was in such an unhealthy relationship as well. I mean, so that incompetent, that, you know, that will fix up, suck it up, that was very much, the fact that I was in such an unhealthy, frustrating connection, I will say, that did not help at all. That really didn't help looking back. But eventually, as I said, sorry, it's very vague, but I can remember somehow, somewhere, I just wasn't willing to, you know, just settle for that. I just, you know, eventually just thought, well, I want to talk about it with somebody. And it was the children's centre where I lived. There was a, like a walk-in surgery, I'm not even sure if it's talking therapies, but there was a nurse that was available, you could speak to her. And I had probably about a 45-minute session just speaking with her. I'd made an appointment. And it went so far back, like what was coming out and what I was saying. It was like, she said, it sounds like there's a lot of underlying things even that go beyond before children, marriage, that, you know, there's just a lot that it's not contributed, but that's a lot to come out there. But then you've got this on top of it, if that makes sense. And I don't know, it just felt, it did feel a bit lighter, but definitely just in terms of, I was looking at an article. It was produced by the Royal College of Psychiatry, 2018, said that 10 to 15 out of 100 women experience postnatal depression in various severities. Now, I've known it to go quite extreme, you know, just in some cases, and I've read as well. And I think that certainly for myself, one of the damaging after effects and consequence was the guilt, and also, as I explained, with finding out infidelity on another level. Again, those who know me, who are close to me, know about that situation. It was infidelity just on another level. And this I found out a week before our son's first birthday. So then every birthday, if you can imagine, on top of my guilt with, oh, I can't connect with my baby, it's just not clicking when he was crying, it's just blank. It's just the most crippling, most unexplainable experiences that you can ever experience. Because even now as I speak about it, there's like a confusion, there's a haziness whereby it just wasn't there. It was like, it was as if somebody had come along and just severed that maternal instinct. And it's kind of, okay, you got to piece it together. Like, okay, baby's crying, that's for your milk. You've got milk in your breast. You've got to settle none of that was connecting at all. So the years following together with postnatal, the guilt, incompetent feeling, and this secret coming out, or this fact coming out, I struggled to celebrate my son's birthday for the first 7 years, no matter how much I tried. It started off being, oh God, a good 2 months before his birthday. There'd be this heaviness, and then it's like a recognizable heaviness. But then, you know, as the years went on, but then it would be just a day, you know, a week before, 2 weeks before. And eventually, I would say after maybe first six, seven, after 7 years, he's now 12. That was it. It was starting to, you know, it was separated from, you know, that memory. But it's, I don't even know, phenomena just feels like it's a, ooh, wow, you know what I mean? Like a, I don't know, but I don't want to use that word, but it's just, it's such a devastating, I think I would say, because it sits with you, and every time you see your child, the guilt, it's gotten a lot better, absolutely, but it's almost like, is that part of you, that guilt? And because with my older two, it was just, you know, thrived, you know, it just, you know, loved motherhood, and you know, I'd embraced it and so forth. But then with my third born, there was just a numbness. There was just, it's just sad. It's that kind of, it's those words that when I look back and seeing him now, such an impactful thing to experience. And it's just, it's almost like I'm speaking for myself. I think for myself, there's just a little space in me that the guilt isn't so heavy, but it remains, because at that time, you look back and then you just look at your whole situation. And it's not to say that, you know, I mean, everyone's situation is different and everyone's experience with postnatal is different. But I think for me, it's when I look back, it's the fact of a role that I normally would have thrived in. It was just so, it's really severed. And it's just looking back, it's just, you know, it's a saddening feeling, you know. And I know from a fellow mum, I remember sitting with her and speaking with her about our experiences. And then when we talked about that guilt and how, you know, not being able to celebrate the birthday, like, even though, like, you wonder, oh, how's that connected? But it's that guilt is something else. The guilt is absolutely something else. And it's something that, as we were talking, we just both were in floods of tears, because no one, it's almost like they've grown, and you know, you've passed that period, and yes, life's happened, but it's somewhere, like, as I'm speaking to, is somewhere in, like, filed somewhere, that it sits there, and it's almost like that you experience many things in life, and you just say, you know, that's where it was, very blessed, and you've moved forward. But certainly for me, that's a space at the back of my heart that sits, and it's almost like, and I wonder if this will resonate with anyone, it's almost like you want to go back to that time, just give yourself a hug and just say, it's okay, and you're going to be all right, you know, like, obviously many things we experience in life, but I think As you can tell, that's one of the things that I carry, and you know, you carry, and there's so many other like experiences that I've had, but this one in particular, that's literally how I feel in this moment, where I wish I could just go back in time and just, you know, say, take your time. This won't last, and it's okay that it doesn't feel like how you had with your first and your second. And I just think that more needs to be done with the maternal care of women, because I know I've seen around the world, oh my goodness, I saw around the world that they have, after mum leaves the hospital, there's somewhere where she can book into, where she has a, you know, nurse. It's all part of the, you know, maternal health procedure or protocol, where she can get her rest and things like that, you know. It's it's another level of painful, really. You know, we all experience different pains, but it's a very, very different feeling, and I'm really grateful that I got through it. At the same time, I'm glad that it's talked about more, and I know that I'm one of many women that talk about it, and I'm glad, and I hope it continues. I just think that there just really needs to be more put in place within maternal health and well-being, within hospitals, training, GPs. My God, I mean, if you were blessed to have a great GP, you know, an understanding, empathic, compassionate, that's, you know, wonderful. But like the two that I mentioned with one of the mums that I knew, as well as myself, I mean, that's just the worst line you could get is, well, you don't look depressed, and you're doing all the looking after the children, you're fine. Makes you know what I mean, making you feel like, oh my gosh, am I making this up? Am I, may I even say, I even had moments of like, oh, maybe it is me, maybe, like, what's that about? Yeah, so much more needs to be done, but it's good that it's talked about, and that's really why I wanted to come on here and share my own experience. That is definitely, yeah, it's one of those experiences that, my gosh, like I've explained to you, there were some, you know, traumatic things surrounding that time of the birth of my son. But at the same time, this postnatal depression can just, it just comes uninvited. And the most natural thing in the world within us as women, when we, you know, give birth, as I keep saying, it was just severed, and I couldn't make sense. It was, for me, it's like, well, I was like this, I've had the older two, what is, you know what I mean, that I think just left me feeling really like, what's wrong with me? Like, I couldn't make sense of it. But then at the same time, whether you've had two before, one before, it does come uninvited. And it would be so interesting to really, I think it'd be really interesting. There's nothing, I was reading this article, that article that I was talking from 2018 from the Royal College of Psychiatry. And you know, there was a question which I've got to go back and read it more thoroughly about, you know, not unavoidable, but it isn't. I'm thinking to myself, well, it isn't. There's nothing that you can avoid. it's really reliant on so many factors. There's so many factors to be considered. And even if you said, oh, if this factor increases it, then we should lessen it by doing that. But I personally believe that because it's such a, my goodness, 9 months of all your hormones. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just trying to make sense of it just as a mum myself. With all the hormones that the body, you know, the changes in hormone or the hormonal changes that take place when you are carrying life for those 9 months, then when we get to the whole experience within those 9 months, as our body changes, our hormones, our moods, our hair, you know, our body, everything, then after all, you know, then with all those changes, we are watching. So how is our mind, you know, looking at these changes? Are they affecting us? Are they causing us to see ourselves differently, where we're not recognizing because our body's changing so much? Or are we embracing it? You know, because there's no guarantee of, oh, if you've, you know, had, you've gone through your pregnancy and you've been, you know, pretty happy, you know, you've taken in, you know, the changes, you've accepted them, and you know, you've just gone along, and then you have the baby. Then after baby comes, it could be the birth. If you've had a traumatic birth, that could then totally undo, quote unquote, undo all the sailing through, or just that ability to just go through it quite, not easily, but you know, comfortably to a certain degree. And then you have the traumatic birth. So I think there's not one thing. It's just a big change in a woman's life. And another thing I wanted to comment on, this is definitely throughout the years, I just believe that, you know, sometimes like you have your baby, and then there's that, you know, sometimes in society there's that rush, oh, they're two, or they're this. I personally, and this is just my own personal opinion as a mama of four, maybe a mum of one can even relate, okay? But as myself, Sandra Daisy, having had my four children, I just believe that, my God, it takes a bit longer than just 1-2 years or when they start eating solids for everything to start feeling within yourself that, okay, this is me, this is where it's at, I've had the baby this long ago. I think certainly for me, I feel like with Hannah as my fourth born, I think a good 7 years, and then I felt a bit me. That was an emergency C-section, so there was all that, so my body, I couldn't exercise too quickly, and then so I wasn't well of the situation that I was in, but yeah, after Hannah, it felt like a good 7 years. I think only after 7 years that I felt like me, as in me. But yes, yeah, it's a topic that would be so interesting to discuss with other mums. It's definitely something I want to do on this podcast, invite other mum friends of mine to come and, you know, share their own experiences, so you yourselves can listen and relate and resonate with, you know, because even though we've gone past it, but there's nothing more comforting than when you can hear someone's gone through a similar, you know, experience. But yes, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode, second episode. I will be posting weekly episodes for you all, and I very much look forward to posting episode 3, so listen out for it. I hope you all stay well, and I'm sending lots of love, and I will speak to you, or you will hear from me in my next episode. Take care. Thank you for listening. Bye.